Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus King coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw, 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on our conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room. And we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Well, folks, we are beginning to see some of the changes that the supposed Stephanie McMahon Triple H era has been touted for. And we'll be discussing some of them for better and for worse. But before we get started with all that, we do have a couple newsworthy items. First off is that Velveteen Dream, who had been taking to social media lately and saying that he wanted to make a return to the ring and was kind of pitching that Triple H should re-sign him, has been arrested for possession of drug paraphernalia. And as it turns out, this is his second arrest this month. He was also arrested for trespassing, apparently, amongst a couple of other charges, which he's pled not guilty to, but he was still arrested for them. This guy's arrested twice in 1 month. This is the same guy who said he was not guilty in a case where some underage girls said that he sent them pictures and was talking to them in a manner that was inappropriate. I've said from the very beginning of the Velveteen's Dream's stay in NXT, very talented guy, has a lot of charisma, but you can't put up with this. It's just something you can't undertake. I mean, this isn't things that happen. If they wanted to bring him back based upon the supposed chatting with a minor thing and sending a lewd picture to a minor, well, you may have been able to justify that simply because no charges were ever pressed. He says he didn't do it. They say he did. The district attorneys, obviously, and the prosecutors took a look at the case. They decided they weren't going to bring a case. So that's not for us to judge. Do I think he was guilty? Probably. But in the eyes of the law, they did not bring a case, which means they didn't feel they had substantial evidence. However, these two, I mean, if you're caught with drug paraphernalia, you are. And marijuana is legal, so it's not marijuana. And I don't know about the trespassing and possible assault charge or whatever the hell else it is. All I know is if you still haven't straightened out your life, no one's going to hire you. So that's unfortunate. And the second thing we wanted to mention is last night you may have seen during the women's tag team title match a fan holding a sign that said, "We want Naomi back. We do not want Bacha Banks." Security literally left the fence and took that sign away. Now, I'm not for this. I'm telling you right now, I'm not for this. If you have a vulgar sign, if you have a sign that advertises your business, if you have a sign that is derogatory toward the entire federation, like go watch AEW, WWE sucks, or something like that, I get that. But if you don't like a wrestler, you know, you'd be closing up on that sign if somebody had it about, a Veer Mahan or The Miz, right? You'd be saying, look how many people hate The Miz. That guy has the right to express his opinion. And just like I've said about other places, I do not like it when you get to decide what is or is not free speech. Rules are rules, and I get that they're, you can't have F words on television. you can have threats on television. You can have a sign that says, I'm going to kill somebody, or you can't have a sign that's filled with F-bombs. I get that. But aside from that, you can't have your opinion. What next? You can't boo her? Stop that chant immediately? What next? Very alarmed by that. So those are the two stories this week, Mike. Apparently Velveteen Dream arrested twice this month. And apparently you cannot have any signs that are negative towards Sasha Banks or they will be confiscated.
Okay, so one, yeah, the Velveteen Dream got arrested twice this week. You can't have that guy back. I mean, look, what happened when what's his name, got caught in a hotel room with some dicey people and a bunch of drugs, right?
Yeah, Enzo.
Enzo, you know, what happened? You know, and he, I know the other extenuating circumstances that went into him getting let loose, but what happened? He eventually got let loose, and he really didn't do anything wrong there, other than the fact that he was in a room with some drugs. But name me some bad drugs, and name me any amount of wrestlers that have not been in a hotel room or in
right.
some sort of a room with, you know, with that type of stuff, you know. So,
right.
so that if you're gonna do that to Enzo, then you cannot have a guy that's been arrested twice and charges pressed twice, throw out the first time, because like you said, there were no charges pressed against the Velveteen Dream that first time, but these last two times there were charges pressed, and once the charges are pressed, hey, you cannot bring this guy back. And as far as the Sasha Banks deal, this is this guy's opinion, and we speculated that, you know, that's what should happen. What exactly said on that sign is what should happen because of all the things that Sasha Banks has done, and this was basically the first time she had injected the poison into Naomi, and this was basically Naomi's first time doing some of this stuff, you know. And so,
yeah.
You know, I agree with the guy. Bring Naomi back and not Sasha, but you don't take that sign away because that's that guy's opinion.
Well, that's my point. I mean, what are we doing here? We have to baby Sasha now. It's like, well, I'll come back, but I don't want to see any negative signs, and I get to stand 6 feet away from any fans. And well, I mean, at some point, just forget it. Go find another career then. I mean, if you're coming back to the WWE means that everyone has to basically play a game of we like Sasha Banks, it's not worth it. It's not worth it to fans because you're going to get booed. I'm telling you right now, she's going to get booed. She's going to get welcomed back, too, by a lot of people, but she's going to get booed by some. What are you going to do, cut the boos out? And as far as the Velveteen Dream is concerned, the thing is this. These are recent things. That means he didn't straighten his life out. You know, if Enzo, after what he did, was arrested two or three times in the last month or so, I'd say, okay, well, forget it. No one's taking him back. But he's kept his nose clean. He's kept his nose clean. Now, there are strong rumors that Braun Strowman is very, very close to coming back to the WWE. We'll talk about that on another show, but and there's a couple of others. We've talked about Bray Wyatt. It's a possibility, a couple others. Sasha and Naomi are already there. I'm telling you right now. The deal's already been struck. So they're just waiting for what's going on. So let's launch right into Raw, and we start out with AJ Styles and Dolph Ziggler versus the Judgment Day. And, you know, I'm glad for AJ Styles in a way. He's getting to do exactly what he wants to do. He's not having to push himself too hard. He's still a major player in the WWE, but he's not, you know, busting ass and having a title reign that's going to be tougher on him. I think he's happy with his position. Fans still like him, but at the same token, I think you're missing a potential really good feud, and it's not Edge. I think when all the smoke and mirrors is done, and Edge and the Mysterios and the Judgment Day have settled, you got to do Finn Balor, AJ Styles. Got to do it. Now, to their credit, they sort of teased it because it looked like Finn Balor wanted nothing to do with AJ Styles. Every time he got tagged in the ring, Finn Balor ran out and seemed to not want any part of it. And the commentators actually did their job and said it doesn't look like Finn Balor too anxious to lock up with AJ Styles. This could be a money feud. Absolutely could be. So Dolph Ziggler takes the loss. He's back to being the old Dolph Ziggler. Doesn't win much. But at least it's given time. See, here's what I want people to understand. Because I had a lot of people write to me and say, well, I don't see much difference. The jabrones are still the jabrones. They're still losing. There's no yeah, but they're losing in a more competitive match. In other words, Dolph Ziggler versus Theory a year ago would have been a three-minute match. Theory would have squashed him, that's it. Very, very, very competitive match. Dolph Ziggler and whatever tag team partner against the Judgment Day would have been 5 minutes and squashed. This was a very, very, very competitive match. So when Dolph Ziggler loses, you're still saying, yeah, but he came close to winning. Not, yeah, but he barely got a punch in. That's where the difference is. That's the big difference I'm seeing. These matches may have similar outcomes to the Vince McMahon era, but they're more competitive, Todd. So it makes the people in them seem that much more competent.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with Dolph Ziggler here and AJ Styles, last night when AJ Styles got in the ring, Finn Balor backed out. He did like sort of the too sweet thing, sort of, last night.
Yeah, I think there's a larger feud maybe to be had there, Mike, once we settle the Edge and the Mysterios.
Right, and frankly, I know he's on a different show, but you could absolutely have if they wanted to, have a three-way deal with him, those two guys, and Nakamura, if you wanted to, you know. So,
yeah, yeah, listen, what happens with that, if you're going to do it, in my opinion, and it's only my opinion, AJ Styles got to win. He's lost too much lately, and I think he needs, like, a victory for people to say, yeah, well, he's still AJ Styles. And I think that if you're going to do a feud with Finn, or even if you're going to add Shinsuke to it, AJ Styles got to win that. Anyway, they lose that match, and then Edge shows up. They get back in the ring to address Edge. Edge comes out, cuts a pretty good promo. Here's the thing, folks. This is what I've been saying about Judgment Day. While you're listening to Finn Balor and Damian Priest, Priest of which is decent on the mic, Finn is horrible. Here comes Edge, and I always make that same analogy of Steven Seagal and Tommy Lee Jones having their back and forth at the end of the movie Under Siege, and you're like, all this is really doing is proving that Steven Seagal can't act, because Tommy Lee Jones really can, and he's so good that he's making Seagal look worse. Well, that's exactly what happened here. Edge grabs the microphone, and he's so good he makes everybody in there look bad, and it just underlines the point that there's really nobody that good in Judgment Day to take that microphone. But Ray and Dominic attack, which is a bit of a surprise since Dominic really wasn't on the same page as Edge a week ago. We get this weird thing where Rhea Ripley is stuck in the ring with Dominic. He's got a kendo stick. He won't use it on her. She talks him into giving it to her. Then we have later on a backstage thing where Rey Mysterio says, I got to take on the Judgment Day, but I've chosen Edge because he has more experience. But I need you at ringside. And Dominik says, I'll be there. I'm almost guaranteeing you this is Dominik's heel turn. Almost guaranteeing you he's going to say, you basically threw me over for Edge, Mike. And this is okay, I guess, but let's hope if he turns, he doesn't join Judgment Day. Because if he does, this group is actually a joke. Because when Edge comes out and says, oh, you look like you're going to goth concert. I forget the name of the group he used. My Chemical Romance. No, you don't. Finn Balor looks exactly the same as he always did. He looks about as goth as AJ Styles does. Balor didn't go for this. See, that's the thing. Balor didn't put all of his heart into this. Yeah, Damian Priest dressed up a little weirder, and Rhea Ripley's always had that look. Dominik's not going to be able to have it. So now you're going to have a real miscreant bunch that just, I'm sorry, if you're going for like goth and those two guys, Finn Balor and Dominik, do not fit, Mike.
They did not fit, and that's the thing. And look, they said, the other thing that, I like the whole segment, but the other thing that they said last night was that Beth Phoenix was not there, which I think was a lie. You know, I think it was a lie. I think when he pulled up in that truck, when Edge pulled up in that SUV, she was in that SUV. She just didn't get out. All right. They didn't want her. They didn't want to blow the load in having her come and beat on what's her name again, or threaten to beat on her again. Right. So
that's definitely going to happen at some point. That's definitely going to happen because Edge even mentioned it and said, you don't want her to come. Believe me, you don't want to figure out why she was called the Glamazon. That's definitely going to happen. I guess it was an okay segment. It was going to lead to a match at Clash at the Castle. That's fine. Then Kurt Angle comes out. Only Kurt Angle. You know, Kurt Angle is so unique. That you suck chance means they like you. It's a lot of fun. Crowd's still into it after all these years. Because he's an entertainer, and he did so well. He was quite entertaining this week. Came out, said what he had to say, and here comes the Alpha Academy, which was perfect, actually. Now, the segment itself wasn't perfect. I think the shush-shush thing back and forth was really annoying and dumb. And I think the one-day membership into the Alpha Academy was kind of dumb. He should have said honorary membership for life. I also think the stipulation after the Street Profits came out to make the save of you have to join was dumb because we knew it wasn't happening. But there were some good parts in this. There were definitely some good parts in this. And just the back and forth between them when they were talking about the Olympics, that was way better. And I think Chad Gable had a really good line when people started booing Alpha Academy. He said, do not boo. There is an Olympic hero in this ring and Kurt Angle, too. That's a pretty good line. Good match with the Street Profits. We kind of knew that Alpha Academy was losing, but again, very competitive match. It wasn't like they squashed them. This is the difference I'm seeing in the Triple H era. We're not really dealing with you don't matter as a team. We're dealing with, on another night, that could have been a different outcome type matches, where there's no real dominance shown in a lot of this. The Street Profits were not dominant. They barely won. And that's good. I think that's good for the most part. So, not too bad of a segment. It was good to see Kurt Angle, Todd.
Oh, yeah, I really like it, like you said, about that match with Street Profits and Alpha Academy. I noticed there was a good part right there at the end where the Street Profits gave Kurt Angle something out of the Red Solo Cup. It's like, what the heck is this?
Yeah.
Next thing you know, he gets a thing, bottles of milk. Get the Street Profits.
Yeah, handing him milk. Do you know, Mike, how long that joke has been, and fans still understand it. Fans still remember when he drove the milk truck into the arena. This is what I mean when I say entertainment counts.
Yeah, not only that, at the end of that whole thing, they were throwing those bottles of milk into the audience. And the audience was actually catching the bottles. And I even saw a couple of guys in the audience open the bottle and drink the milk. So, yeah, you know.
I think it would have been funnier if Kurt Angle poured stuff into the Solo cup and they thought it was booze and it turned out to be milk and the Street Profits spit it out and said, what the heck are you in? And he could have pulled out all the milk bottles and said it's milk rather than vice versa. But it worked. Either way, it worked. So not a bad segment. We then get to what probably – well, let's go to the Bianca Belair, Asuka, and Alexa Bliss basically had a squash match against some local competitors. That's because they're setting up for the big Clash at the Castle thing. I have no problem with this. There's nothing to talk about except they made them look strong. That's good. That's fine. Then we get probably the best thing on the show. We get Seth Rollins and Matt Riddle, supposedly, via Zoom or whatever it is. And it gets pretty ugly. But the beauty of it was not that. Matt Riddle closes with the line, there's only one man in your family, and that's Becky Lynch. We then see that supposedly the announcers have left. They're still hooked up, and Seth Rollins, totally out of character, not doing the laughing, not doing the facial expression, says, hey, Riddle, are you still there? And Riddle says, yeah, I'm still here. And he says, if you want to talk about my family, let me talk about yours. Your family, you don't even have a family because they don't want to see you because your wife divorced you and your kids don't want to see your stupid ass. To which Riddle blows up and says, uses the F-bomb. That was absolutely 100% scripted. We do know, of course, that there was some legitimate problems between Seth Rollins and Riddle. For the people who don't know, Riddle's wife at the time, some kind of bodybuilder or something, I don't know what she did, some kind of a fitness expert. And she basically commented when Becky Lynch wasn't thin that Becky Lynch didn't look all that fit. And Seth Rollins did not take very kindly to that and said, I will never work with Matt Riddle. Matt Riddle, in an interview, said, wasn't my fault. I didn't say it, and I didn't agree with it. So I finally went over to Seth Rollins and said, look, I'm sorry. I don't know what my wife's thinking. I didn't say it, and I don't agree with it. But he said there were still hard feelings, and the hard feelings lasted for a while, but I think we've straightened them out. This is two professionals allowing some reality into their gimmick so that fans can more easily blur the lines between what is real and what it isn't. And I applaud them both. Now, I'm sure he doesn't mind Seth Rollins talking bad about his ex-wife. And Rollins didn't cross the line and say, you cheated on him or her, or he didn't cross the line and say, you almost got arrested for sexual assault, or he didn't do that. He basically said, your wife don't want to see it. Well, of course, his ex-wife. And I guess he cleared it about the kids. I'm sure he did. But that's the beauty of professional wrestling. What you saw there is a perfectly done angle. You saw them in quote-unquote character. And supposedly, I'm sure this is how the storyline was presented to them. You guys stay basically in character. You hate each other. At the end, Riddle, you mentioned the Becky Lynch thing, and that's going to really aggravate Seth Rollins. And when we get Corey the hell out of there, Corey Graves, you say to Riddle, totally out of character now. Don't do a laugh. Don't do the Seth Rollins voice. You say your lines. And then Riddle, you don't do no funny stuff about, yo, bro. You just really say, oh, yeah, F you, you know, and get really upset. They pulled it off beautifully. That's what professional wrestling is supposed to be when it's at its best. And, Mike, I take my hat off to whoever wrote it, and the performance was good as well.
And you know what? I tell you what. All those months of being underneath Randy Orton has really helped Riddle. Before he was with Randy Orton, I don't think Riddle could have pulled this off before he was with Randy Orton. You know? And frankly, you know what this also sets up? This also sets up Becky Lynch coming back, and like we said, maybe coming back with a little bit more weight on her, you know, and all that stuff, you know. So that's what this sets up, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you this, and this is an important part of this whole thing. You're right about the Randy Orton thing. I don't know if Riddle was capable of this before this whole Randy Orton thing, but it shows very clearly the difference between AEW and WWE. In AEW, Sammy Guevara calls Eddie Kingston fat, and Eddie Kingston has a hissy fit and tries to punch him in the locker room. In WWE, Riddle says the only man in your relationship is your wife, and Seth Rollins says you don't even have a family because your wife and your kids don't even want to see you. And everybody's fine. You know what the difference is? I promise you that Riddle and Rollins, who I still don't think like each other a lot, put away their little petty, you insulted my wife or your wife insulted my wife, and said, how do we make this special? Is it okay if I say this? No, I don't want you to go there. Don't go with the affair thing. Don't go with that. Is it all right if I say this? Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, fine. Then you already know. You've already cleared it. Everything is fine. Fans get that big shock moment, and it looks now like it's transcending what should happen in a wrestling ring and becoming more personal. That's a good thing, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with the Riddle and the Seth Rollins situation, and, you know, like you said, they still had a little – they made it sort of that legitimate beef into a storyline. I remember back in 2005 with the Matt Hardy and the Edge little thing there,
yep.
They had a legit beef over Lita, and it turned into a storyline.
That's absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. And again, see, this is the difference. Sometimes you have to blur the lines a little bit. And I know there's going to be a lot of people who say, I don't care what anybody says. Seth Rollins couldn't have possibly cleared that line. Yes, he did. But again, you have to be able, if you're a wrestler, to have, you know, thick skin. And that's why when the Eddie Kingston, Sammy Guevara thing happened, I said, well, obviously Sammy Guevara didn't clear it with him. Because if you're really sensitive about something and somebody brings it up without asking you, then you get mad. That's the only reason you get mad. Who knows what it might be? You know, I don't know. If you're going to say, hey, Baron Corbin's head looks like a cue ball, maybe he's sensitive about being bald. I don't think so, but I'd check with him. I'd say, that's cool, right? Whatever you're going to do that's a little different, that's like a personal attack, you should probably clear it with the guy, especially if you're going to mention family or you're going to mention some kind of incident that's real. Just check it. Just check it. Great segment, though. This is exactly what the WWE needs, is more segments like this. And there was another one in this show, which is a good thing. Now, we got The Miz going against Bobby Lashley for the U.S. title. No one thought he had a prayer of winning it. It basically was to further this angle with Dexter Lumis, where The Miz won't press charges. He won't tell people what happened. He gets squashed by Bobby Lashley, as we figured he might. And as he's leaving, he tells Ciampa, I'm fine, everything's good. He gets into the van and leaves, and you can see Lumis in the back. Now, I don't know where the storyline's going with this, but I can presume. And because we're seeing this, we have sympathy for the Miz sort of attitude in the announcers. And, oh, well, you know, you gotta kind of feel bad for the guy. He's having, like, post-traumatic shock syndrome, and he won't say what happened, and he won't press charges, and you know, something's up, and something bad must have happened, and he don't want to say. I think it's a setup. I think The Miz and Dexter Lumis are in on something together. I think The Miz knew he was going to be kidnapped. I think what's going to end up happening is Dexter Lumis somehow is going to fall into this Miz thing. And he's not even let Ciampa know, so I don't know where, you know, if Ciampa's going to get cut off at the knees or he's going to be a part of it. But I don't think they want you to cheer The Miz. I don't think they want you to feel sorry for The Miz. So therefore, if they don't want you to cheer him, they don't want you to feel sorry for him. He's got to be in on it. At least that's my take on it, Mike. What do you think?
I think so. I think, you know, the way I play it is not only is he in on it, but he's actually paying Dexter Lumis to stalk him, you know, because basically that's what Lumis is doing. He's stalking him, right?
Right. Yeah.
So, and if that's the case, then what happened on NXT last week might fit into this, and at some point we'll see Indy Hartwell come up and be with Dexter Lumis, because I think Maurice is done with wrestling because she's happy with what she's doing, and they're gonna need a woman in this thing, so Indy Hartwell. No.
It's very possible. And here's the beauty of it all. The beauty of it all is we don't know exactly, but we're curious. This is the first time storylines have started to do this in a long time where you say, I know it's going somewhere. I'm not exactly sure where it's going, but I'm interested. That's also a difference from 5 months ago. So far, at least, we have that. We have more competitive matches, even though the outcomes are sometimes, you know, predictable. At least they're more competitive. We have storylines that are starting to have some logic, and some of them that are starting to at least be things that pique your interest. So we do have a couple of good things going on here so far. We have some of this blur the lines between reality and fantasy. With Rollins and Riddle, which is a very, very good thing. And, I mean, a month ago we're saying Clash at the Castle, you know, doesn't sound very good, really. And now we're looking at Sheamus and Gunther, and you're like, well, that looks like a good match. And now you're looking at Riddle and Rollins, and you're saying, well, you know, there could be something here. So they've done a good job. Post the Vince McMahon thing, I think, to set this pay-per-view up. Let's take a call. Caller, are you there?
Hello, Marcus?
Yes.
Mr. Damage here. How you doing?
Hey, Mr. Damage. So what do you think?
Hey, if you don't mind, I called about the previous segment on Rollins and Riddle.
Absolutely.
A lot of people don't realize Riddle was an accomplished MMA fighter. He's a legitimate badass. You get fooled by the surfer, beach boy, stoner gimmick. I think the real Matt Riddle is starting to come out, and I like it.
Well, you know, here's the thing, Mike, that's very important. We got two mics. I want to call you Mr. Damage. We don't want him to be exactly like that all the time. And I'll tell you why we don't. Because the other guy's way more marketable. The yo dude, I'm out here on a scooter and I got the cool whatever and I smoke a joint and you can market that. There's all kinds of ways to market that and sell merchandise. Just, I'm a badass. We got a lot of badasses. Roman Reigns is a badass. Drew McIntyre is a badass. Kevin Owens is a badass. We got all our badasses.
Yeah.
He can do that for this feud because it's gotten personal. But I don't think I want to see a steady diet of it.
When he gets pushed too far, he goes to this point.
Right. I think that's where that needs to go, and I think that's where that needs to stay, because the other stuff is so marketable, you don't want to throw that away.
Gotcha.
And hang with us, because this next segment is going to do the exact same thing. we have the Usos come out with Sami Zayn. And Kevin Owens comes out. And this is a very – see, this is being marketed to wrestling fans. There's going to be a 9-year-old, 12-year-old kid who says, yeah, I think there was something with Sammy and KO. But most adults say, oh, those guys have been friends for life. And where do you go with this now? Where does Sammy go with this? What happens? Well, it's as clear as the nose on your face that they're going to form a tag team. I knew that anyway. We said this, what, a month and a half ago? That's going to happen? Clear as the nose on your face that when push comes to shove, Sami Zayn will not turn his back on Kevin Owens and vice versa. And if anyone is going to dethrone the Usos, it will be Owens and Zayn as a tag team. And that's coming. And even though we know it's coming, it's still something we're looking forward to because there's more to the story. Now, if they're smart, they will play out the story where Kevin Owens has an opportunity to waylay Sami Zayn, and he won't. If they're smart, they'll have another one where Sami Zayn has to consider it but backs off. Because then they can say, you guys might be the Brotherhood. You may have the same blood in your veins. But family can be other things, too. And Sami Zayn or Kevin Owens, that's my family. And you have something. Now, they've obviously decided they don't want Kevin Owens to be a heel because that's what he started out being. And I think that Mike nailed it on the head when he said, we're going to have Ezekiel gone long enough to grow his beard and his hair back and become Elias. And I think by that time, the KO thing's going to be forgotten about. This is where the new storyline is going, Mike, and I like it a lot.
Right, and that's the thing. And, you know, you look at it and you look at the fact that, you know, we know the goal at some point is to turn probably all three of those guys in the bloodline right now face. Including all four of them, if you want to include Sami Zayn. Because if you're not going to put a heel with a face, right now Sami Zayn is kind of playing the heel, right? And you're not going to put Sami Zayn the heel with Kevin Owens the face. So at some point, Kevin Owens is going to flip.
Not yet, but I think what's going to happen is Sami Zayn is flipping. I think Sami Zayn is going to say, as much as I want to be a member of the Brotherhood, as much as I want, this was my big moment, I'm not throwing my best friend I've ever had in my life under the bus for it. And that's what's going to turn Sami Zayn face. And Kevin Owens is going to save him from an Uso attack. They're going to say, you never was a member of the Bloodline. You were a useful idiot. And now you're not even useful. They're going to attack him. Kevin Owens is going to make the save. And you're going to see Mr. Damage, you're going to see, I think, this be maybe, if they can stretch it out long enough, maybe a WrestleMania tag team match.
Marcus, I got to tell you, Sami Zayn is an absolute jewel. He is so underrated as a performer, but also in ring, on the microphone. He's so crafty, so intelligent. He's very underrated.
Yeah, he's great on the mic. There's no question about that. He's fabulous on the mic, and the thing that Sami Zayn can do, let me tell you what Sami Zayn can do, and I don't like Sami Zayn as a person. I have my own personal reasons. I've seen things, heard things. I don't like him. But as an entertainer, what Sami Zayn can do, the only person I can think of is not even a wrestler that could do it. John Candy used to have that ability, and also Jackie Gleason used to have that ability of going from making you laugh to being very serious and almost making you cry. Sami Zayn can go from, I hate him, he's a weasel, to, I honestly feel sorry for him, and he's not that bad of a guy. He can do that in a heartbeat, and that is not common, and it's not something that's easy to be able to do. And the push comes to shove, will he hit Kevin Owens with a chair? Shows that. Now, I would be very careful with what I did from now on. I would, again, I think you have to show that Kevin Owens has that same thing. I think you have to put Kevin Owens in a position where he could waylay Sami Zayn if he wanted to and said no, or save Sami Zayn in some capacity. But if you want to wait until the Usos turn on him, fine. I'm afraid that WWE is going to jump the gun. I'm afraid next week the Usos are going to say, you didn't do what we said and you suck, and they start kicking the hell out of him and KO comes out. There's way more of this story to tell. If I, you know, fantasy booking, I would have Kevin Owens say to Sami Zayn, have you come to your senses? You obviously didn't hit me with a chair, Sami. So you know that what I'm saying is true. You know you're being used. And Sami Zayn saying, look, I didn't hit you with a chair because you're my best friend. So I didn't want to betray you like that. But you put me in a really bad situation, and you're wrong. These guys respect me. They like me. I'm on a fast track to the top. Just please stay out of it so I don't have to make those decisions again. That way you can stretch it out a little bit. This going because you have two good performers who can absolutely pull this off. So don't go from chapter one to chapter nine like the WWE so often does, Todd. Let this play out.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, of the Sami Zayn and the Usos and the Kevin Owens thing last night. Well, like you said, I could see a double cross coming. I could see Sami Zayn double crossing the Usos.
Yeah, absolutely, Ken. And Mr. Damage, listen, you know you got to have that moment. You got to have that moment where the Usos are kicking the hell out of Sami Zayn. And the announcer saying Sami Zayn doesn't have a friend in the world because he basically told Kevin Owens to stay out of his business. And Kevin Owens still making the save, chasing the Usos out, and those guys embracing in the ring. You got to have that moment.
I'm really happy that Kevin Owens brought up the past with his matches with Roman. There was a really good backflash so that the fans can feel the emotion that Kevin Owens still has the resentment from how he was one inch from becoming Universal Champion.
Absolutely correct. See, this is what I'm starting to see, guys. I'm starting to see Triple H putting logic back into it, where you say, oh, yeah, that guy who threatened my wife and tried to run me over with a car and kicked my ass in a parking lot with an iron pipe, he's now a face, so I like him. I mean, that's just dumb. That's not going to happen. And I hate when that happens. Now we have a situation where maybe the old WWE would have said, okay, Sami, he comes out and you say, hey, Kevin, get lost. You're the past. I'm, you know, part of my past. F you. You didn't care about me. F you. And hits him with a chair. And you're like, I guess we're going to have a Sami and Kevin Owens feud. No, this is much better. They're playing to the past, and they're showing you, if you're a real wrestling fan, and you remember this, and you remember that, this is logically falling into place. Everything's logically falling into place. When things logically fall into place like this, I give them credit, because this is something that has not happened for a long time. Now, I was not excited about Matt Riddle versus Seth Rollins, other than I said it'll be a good match, because I thought they were going to continue this, yo, dude. You know, afterward we'll smoke a doobie and hang out, man. And I got a scooter that says, you know, what, you know, Rollins, forget it. That wouldn't have worked. This is working. And the reason it's working is you've changed both of their personalities. Seth Rollins was like, I laugh at everything. I don't care. Now he's dead serious. And Riddle was the same way. He dropped the whole phony Sean Penn Fast Times at Ridgemont High deal. And got mad. And you're saying, this is good. This is going to be something different. So you're setting up Clash at the Castle very well. You did the thing with Sheamus on Friday night, where it's very clear that these two guys are going to beat the hell out of each other. And now I'm saying to myself, we've got some very good matches here at Clash at the Castle. Now, the last thing that happened, I'm not a fan of. And I'll tell you why I'm not a fan. Yes, you have to have the women's tag team titles, I guess, be the main event. But I'm telling you, nobody cares. And if there's anyone that is not does not belong in a tag team, it's Raquel Rodriguez. She belongs going for a world title. And Aaliyah has done nothing. Nothing. It's basically the female version of Enzo and Cass, except that Aaliyah's not entertaining. And you have built up Damage Control to be the top people. And I know there's a storyline, and it's important that that storyline get followed. And for the benefit of this storyline, they have to lose. But I still think it's a bad idea. If I'm sitting around and we're trying to book this, and they say, let's pull a surprise on the fans. Everyone thinks that Damage Control is going to win. How about if we swerve them? I would say, I'm all for a swerve, but not in this case. Because I think it weakens and makes Damage Control not look as good as they should. And if you're going to have Sasha come back with Naomi, they better look strong. So how about if we just make Aaliyah the weak link? Raquel Rodriguez goes in there, does well, gets taken out, and Aaliyah can't cut it. And now you have their bragging rights saying, we told you there was no women's champions here capable of taking us on, and then you bring back Sasha and Naomi. That, I think, is more logical than this, because now I think you've weakened your top group, and I just, what are they, a few weeks in? I don't like that, Mike.
Absolutely. I don't like it either, and that's the thing. And again, I'll say it again, they need to get in the back. They need to get in the, I almost said Becky Lynch, but they need to get into Bayley's head and get her in the shape. She looks puffy. She looks overweight.
Yeah.
She looks, you know, she doesn't look like the old Bayley. You know, I mean, I guess that's the goal, but, you know.
I know.
I mean, you know, we talked about Becky Lynch not looking like the old Becky Lynch, and why that is, and why she should go back to looking like the old Becky Lynch. But, you know, get Bayley in the shape. And one other thing, back to the whole thing with Seth Rollins. Basically, the Seth Rollins thing and the Edge thing kind of dovetailed, because basically they had this, almost the same line when they said about Edge that Beth Phoenix wears the pants in the family. Basically,
right.
Using almost the same line as she's the that Becky Lynch is the man in that family, right? You know, so I mean that was a through line. That was kind of a through line with two different gimmicks, right?
Yeah, I only wish that Edge had been sharp enough. I was waiting for him to say it because I know how good he is on the mic. And when they said that line, I was waiting for Edge to say, you want to talk about who wears the pants in my family? Who wears the pants in your faction? Finn, you can't say five words on a microphone that anybody's interested in, and who the hell knows who Damian Priest even is? We know who the leader of this group is. Boys. That would have been a great line because it's the truth. Who comes out last? Rhea Ripley in Judgment Day, right? Who comes out last? I thought he was going to say that for sure, and I'm like, eh, he didn't. He just went for the, well, this is 2022. I don't want to hear that nonsense. I wanted to hear him make that comparison, but whatever. This was a better Raw, though. This was a much better Raw. It still wasn't fantastic, but I see them laying the groundwork, which is very, very important. When you lay that groundwork, then things get better. So I can deal with a decent show where I'm saying, but they're building it. I can feel them building it because I know I'm going to get good stuff later. What my problem was is I'd turn off Raw and say, they're not even building anything. I mean, it was a lousy show and there's nothing being built. So now I'm starting to see a little more of this, and I like it. So we have some optimism that Clash at the Castle may be something major. But I don't know, Mike, as far as this main event, I'm never a big fan of building up a team and then having them drop anything to anyone until there's some kind of a big reason to do it. Well, let me go to Mr. Damage here. Go ahead.
I just want to make a quick comment. I believe that Dakota Kai and Io Sky should have become the tag team champions because it would have given a big boost to Bayley's faction. It would have gave them some legitimacy, unless they're just trying to set up a they want to set up a feud between the other team and draw it out a little bit and then have them become the tag team champions.
Well, you're right, but I just don't think that's a good enough reason. I just think you have to make Damage Control look strong. And if people said, oh, that was boring because we knew who was going to win, okay, well, we know who's going to win 90% of wrestling matches. You don't, so what should we do now? Should we say, okay, well, you know who was going to win between, you know, The Miz and Bobby Lashley, so The Miz is going to win. You can't do that. You don't just swerve somebody for the sake of swerving them. The swerve has to happen because it's been set up to happen. You know, if we're all saying Dominic Mysterio may actually join Judgment Day and turn on his dad, the ultimate swerve would be if Edge beat the hell out of Rey Mysterio and went back to Judgment Day. And you say, holy shit, I never saw that coming in a million years. A swerve like that I can appreciate. A swerve where you just say, okay, where we're going to have, you know, Roman Reigns against R-Truth, and R-Truth is going to win. Well, no, you don't do that. And I'm sorry, I can believe in Raquel Rodriguez being able to, you know, take these women on, but not Aaliyah, not yet. I do want to mention one thing to everybody, though, and get your opinion on it. A lot of people who say, well, the entertainment factor is not as important as the wrestling. Did you see when Alexa Bliss, Bianca Belair, and Asuka were in the ring and they were cutting a promo? Bianca Belair cut a nice promo, got nice applause. Alexa Bliss cut a little short promo, got nice applause. Asuka screamed unintelligible things in Japanese and practically got a standing ovation. Nobody knew what she said. It didn't matter. It was the enthusiasm she showed that made the people riled up. And that's what I mean, Mike, when I say sometimes that is more important than a fancy move. Let's go to Damage first.
There's something about Asuka, the energy, the enthusiasm, the passion she has. You rarely see that in a performer. It's like she eats, sleeps, and drinks this persona, and it's just pure passion coming out of her mouth.
It's addictive. It's actually addictive. They don't even. No one knows what she said, except at the end when she said nobody's ready for, and she named all three of them. But Todd, it's just like this whole energy thing. It's very addictive to see someone who's so into what they're doing.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with this whole thing with Asuka again, that standing in huge ovation last night, everybody went nuts. But we couldn't understand what she was saying because of her language barrier. But either way, fans went crazy.
Yeah, it didn't even matter what she said, Mike. It was the enthusiasm and the energy she had behind it.
It reminds me of what they used to say about the Ultimate Warrior and his interviews when he was growling and groaning and grunting and stuff. And you couldn't understand that. You basically couldn't understand his interviews, but people ate his promos up because he was entertaining. And it goes back to what he said. When he was running his wrestling school, I don't teach wrestling. I teach entertainment.
Right. There's something about Asuka, Mr. Damage is right, there's something that's very appealing about her. And you don't want to take it away. You don't want to make her this, I'm this sinister, dark, you know, whatever right now. You see, she was getting stale until she let her real personality come out. And when she let her real personality come out, and she's so bubbly and energetic and over the top, people like that. And you definitely want to encourage that. Don't do the mysterious, dark, you know, thing. Let her be this, because it's very appealing and it's very marketable. Anyway, was it a perfect show? No, it was not. Was it a good show? Yeah, it was a good show. It's setting some groundwork for some very good things happening. And for that reason, I'm going to give it a B+. I think it was one of the more entertaining Raws I've seen recently. The in-ring action was pretty good. I can't say anything negative about Rollins and Riddle. I can't say anything negative about the whole Kevin Owens and the Bloodline situation. Had my problems with the end match, but that was about it, really. All night long, I did think some of the Alpha Academy stuff was corny, but seeing Kurt Angle back was fine. So for the most part, this show was pretty good, so I'm going to give it a B+, Mike. How about you?
I'm going to give it a B+ as well, and here's something else to think about, Oscar. Have her keep doing this stuff, but the thing is, the only one that can understand her is who? Io Sky.
Right.
Yeah. When Io Sky comes out, have her act like whatever Asuka says is an affront to Io Sky, right? And have her, even though it might not be, you know, have her act that way, and that's how you get a feud between those two ladies going.
You know how they started this whole thing? Remember when Asuka was like a guest commentator and she was just going nuts? And nobody knew what she was saying, and they were trying not to laugh because she was being very entertaining and over the top, and she was just screaming in Japanese mostly. People ate that up. And I think they realized, for whatever bizarre reason, that works when she does it. Did you see her face when she got such a big ovation? She understands. She understands I don't have a tremendous grasp of the English language, but I don't need to. I can get through to these fans by just being energetic and upbeat and larger than life, and she did. Todd, what's your rating this week?
I got to go with you here. I got to go with the same grade as well.
Okay, so we got two B pluses. Mr. Damage, what is your rating?
I am going to give it a B- for one quick reason. It's strictly personal. For a wrestling show, for me, the last segment has to leave me wanting more or wondering or perplexed, where I have to tune in next week to see what happens. The last segment just didn't do it for me, so I got to give it a B-.
Well, you're right. But, you know, they trapped themselves into a corner. And you know what the corner was? We have to make the Women's Tag Team Championships the main event. Otherwise, we'll be called misogynistic. We'll be accused of not caring about the women's division. And they backed themselves into a corner. Otherwise, the KO and Sammy thing should have been the main event, in my opinion. But you're right. So we will see you guys on Friday.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.